Yeah. Okay. Yeah, start, right? Okay. So the Gemara over here on Yudim Abayz asked the basic question, what is the source for the concept, the notion of a chazakah, that once something has a previously established status, we presume that it projects forward until such time that we know otherwise. The Gemara here is searching for a source. Meshech Chochma, actually, on Chumash, you have to be the Meshech Chochma, comes up with his own source for the notion of chazakah, really very creatively, based on the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, which tells us that a person kills someone else b'shoigeg, what of course is his punishment? What happens to a person who kills someone else b'shoigeg? Goes to the Yomiklat. If he doesn't seek refuge in the Yomiklat, then what is his halacha? The Goel Hadam, the closest relative of the victim, can kill him. But 1 minute, until what time can he kill him? Because he's supposed to really be in the Yomiklat. Let's say the guy goes to the Yomiklat, and then he leaves. So then, right, he's subject to, he's vulnerable to the Goel Adam. But if after if the death of the Kohen Gadol occurs, then the guy's entitled to leave the Eir Miklat, and now he has a lifetime of protection because he did his stint. He did his time in the Eir Miklat. So as long as he made it to the Eir Miklat before the death of the Kohen Gadol, he's protected for the rest of his life. The Goel Adam can no longer kill him. So the Goel Adam can only kill him if he never went to the Eir Miklat, or if he leaves the Eir Miklat before the death of the Kohen Gadol. If he leaves after the death of the Kohen Gadol, he's protected. So says the Meshech Chochma, let's say a guy kills someone else b'shoigeg. He's a murderer b'shoigeg. There's no such thing really in halacha called manslaughter. Manslaughter means you killed someone else by accident and you don't bear the same kind of culpability, responsibility. In halacha, there's no such thing. You're a roitzeach or you're an oinus. Either you're an oinus, which means you're entirely exempt, or you're a murderer by accident because you really should have been more careful. Anyway, a guy kills someone else b'shoigeg. He runs to the Eir Miklat. Then he leaves. Takes a vacation, has to go to Collins Avenue, it's a religious migrant, whatever, pilgrimage, has to go to Collins Avenue and wait online in the restaurant for a table. So he got to do it. So he's waiting there, Collins Avenue, the Goel Adam sees him, and he says, a chutzpah, he leaves the Eir Miklat, and now he goes over to kill him. As he's entitled to do, but 1 minute, he's only entitled to do it if the Kohen Gadol hasn't died. If the Kohen Gadol dies, he's no longer able to kill the Roitzeach B'shoigeg. It's only until the death of the Kohen Gadol. How does he know the Kohen Gadol was still alive? Maybe the Kohen Gadol died and he didn't receive the information yet. So says Meshech Chochma, must be the only time ever a Goel Adam can kill the Roitzeach B'shoigeg is by presuming that the Kohen Gadol is still alive. Meaning we knew he was alive in the past. We have to presume that that status continues to function moving forward until such time that we know otherwise, which is based on the concept of a chazakah. So Meshech Chochma says, you see from the whole institution of the fact that a Goel Adam can kill the Roitzeach B'shoigeg, that we have to presume that once a status, something has been established, it continues until such time that we know otherwise, the concept of chazakah. Then the Meshech Chochma says, not really so. It's not really the best source or viable source for the concept of chazakah, because chazakah has a nuance to it, which we haven't touched upon yet. And that is, once something has an established status, we presume that it projects forward, continues to go forward into the future, until such time that we know otherwise. Let's say we know it has changed. You have a mikvah that we measured in the past that was full. Now we see that it's empty. What about everybody who went to the mikvah in the interim? Are they tamei or tahar? When did it change? Let's say you have something, a woman was a penuya. Now she's an eshes ish. We know she's an eshes ish now, but when did that status change? She had a chazakah, as we call it, a chazakah demei kara, previously established status in the past of being a penuya, a single woman. Now she's what's known as a chazakah dahashta. She has a status now of being an eshes ish, but when did that change? So the chazakah demei kara prevails over the chazakah dahashta, and we presume that that change happened as late as possible, at the last possible moment. That's another wrinkle in this area of chazakis, is that the chazakah de meikara prevails over the chazakah de hashta and projects forward until the last possible moment that it's sustainable. So that you don't see from the fact that the Goel Hadam can kill the Roitzeach B'shoigeg when he's waiting in line in Collins Avenue because he left the Eir Miklat, based on the assumption that the Kohen Gadol was still alive. We don't know. We see from here that once the Kohen Gadol was alive, we assume he's still alive until such time that we know otherwise, but we don't see from here that if we know the Kohen Gadol died, we presume he died at the last possible second, when there was some doubt. We can't say, well, he must have maybe died 10 years ago, maybe died 20 years ago, because the chazak, the meikar, projects and dictates forward that it changed at the last possible moment. So not only does the chazak mean that the status continues to function until such time that we know otherwise, even if we know otherwise that it has changed, the chazak tells us and dictates that change happened as late as possible. That you don't see. from the concept of the Reitzeach, who's the Goyal Hadam was able to kill the Reitzeach, based on the assumption that Godel was still alive. How do you see that from our source? What does the Gemara quote as a source of the concept of Chazakah? That a Kohen goes into a house, he sees the Neged Saras on the wall, he turns to leave, and he gets out of the house, and he declares the house as a Bais HaMenugah. How can you do that? Maybe when you turned your back to leave, the nega shrunk below the minimum size of a nega tsaras, and now it's no longer, he can no longer declare it as a bais menuga. Says the Gemara, must be that once he saw it to have a certain size, it has a chazaka, a previously established status, a status quo, which we presume continues to function until such time that he knows otherwise. But how do you see that if we know it does change, we push the change to as late as possible? Where do you see that? From this. So that's what Tysus asks. The second kasha over here, Tysus. And the first of the narrow lines, and different amounts of a Dilma, kasha. The Tena Cheka the Lekha Reusa. You see from here, like the Meshach Chachma had another source for that, from the Reitzeach, the Goyal Adam can kill the Reitzeach with Shoigeg. That once you have the status quo, we presume that continues, into the future. The Lekha Reusa, the Heka, the Ika Reusa, when we know it changed. What's another instance of that? Kigon Sakin Shininze Spaguma, we had a knife that we know was sharp at one point in time. Then we know that the knife became nicked. But when did the nick happen? Did it happen by animal 1 that I shechted? Did it happen by animal 10? I shecht 10 animals, right? I checked the knife, sharp. Shecht 10 animals. Then I checked the knife at the end and it's nicked. But when did it happen? So the Chazak and the Meikar will tell me what happened at the last possible moment. You know, at the end of the shechit of the 10th animal. The Chazak and the Ashtu will tell me that happened at the earliest possible moment. Then what happened in that instance? The Chazak of the Meikar prevails over the Chazak of the Hash, and we presume that it happened at the last possible moment. Now that's assuming that there's no other factors, even if you remember the Gemara from before the break. So we discussed, well, here the animal is a Chezkas Iser, because it was Avram and Achai, so that's a contributing factor too. But in a vacuum, how do you know this concept that a chazaka, when you have a status quo, not only we presume that it hasn't changed, but even if we know it has changed, we push the change off to as late as possible. Aval heikel the ikares and go and shaker shenitz beguma v'kein echem mishnayim shenitma vade b'shus haram mitam shnei mitam chazaka minolan dazinim ba'as a chazaka. How do you know you go based on the chazaka? In that instance, the Tosfos says we do see that from here. V'yesh loymar da'akinami yesh reisa gedola. Why? Because let's say, what's that lach lebais menuga? We outlined it yesterday. The kohen gadol walk. The kohen, I'm sorry, goes into the house. He sees the neged saras on the wall. He declares the house, this is a bais menuga. All right, he turns to leave. He declares the house a bais menuga. What happens? He comes back a week later, and he sees it came smaller. So what's the halacha? We said yesterday, if he saw it shrunk in size, is the house tamei or is the house tar? Tar. It's only if it gets bigger. If it remains the same size, it gets smaller, the house is tar. What happens in the week in the middle? The guy walked in the week in the middle. He didn't know about it. Till the kohen hasn't come back yet for his house call, right? The concierge kohen. He hasn't come back yet for his house call. A week later, what happened in the interim if someone walked in there by accident? Is he tamei or is he tar? What would you say? Tamei! So buy some menuga, be mea hezger. 1 minute. At the end, we saw it got smaller. So why don't we say, if now it got smaller, maybe it got smaller in the middle of the week also. So it says, Tazia, show me the Hakanami Yeshua's a good day. The Afagab Dishtak Shechos Alachashiv, even if I come back later and I see it being smaller, if you hockey lomit tarum mafreya, close him shenichlu, go buy his, be mea hezger. We're not in the tire of the people who walked in that intermediate week. So don't we see, since it was big enough to declare it as a bais menuga at the beginning of the week, that status projects forward into the future, not only until the kohen gets to the porch and declares it as a bais menuga, but even the entire week, even if at the end of the week we find that it has changed and became smaller, it doesn't matter. That week is tamei because we push off the change to the last possible moment, which is right before the kohen came in at the end of the week to check the house and the status of the house. So you see from this case, not only that a status quo projects into the future, we assume it hasn't changed, but even when we know it has changed, we assume it changed at the last possible moment. Yeah.
Does chazaka apply to most cases? Because there's some cases, like the case of the mikvah, or the case of the knife, it's completely avoidable to rely on chazaka.
Why?
You could just check the mikvah before you get in. You could just check the mikvah before you speak on the animal.
No one checks the mikvah, the volume of the mikvah, every time they go into it. It's going to be onerous. You're not going to be able to get anything done. You're going to check every single thing. We said the knife you're supposed to check before every sheet, though. We did say that.
So in case
I don't know if they do that in the slaughterhouses. They check a lot of animals very quickly. I don't know if they check them. I don't know. I've never been in We have to go to slaughterhouse, but I've never checked behemoth gases. I don't know. Anyway, we discussed yesterday. So what happened with this source, the Baiz HaMenuga? So we said yesterday, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov disputed this. You don't see a source from here of Chazaka because maybe the Kohen walked out of the house backwards. So he was watching the Nega the entire time until he got outside on the porch, and then he declared it as a Baiz HaMenuga, but he never at any time turned his sight from this Nega, so he never had to rely on Chazaka. The Gemara says we can't accept Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's, the Gemara disputes Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's arguments because you're not allowed to walk out of the Baiz HaMenuga backwards. The Pasuk says that he's supposed to leave. The Pasuk says, V'yotza ha-koyin min ha-bayis ha-pesach ha-bayis v'hizgir z'bayis shivas yamim. You have to leave. Leaving is only if you walk out normally, you know, facing forward, not if you walk out backwards. That's not called leaving. So that would not be a valid form of exiting the Baiz HaMenuga to declare it as a, you know, as a Baiz HaMenuga. You have to walk out forwards, in which case you have to turn your back on the Nega. Must be you have to rely on Chazaka. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov disputed that. He said you could walk out. He could walk out backwards. We'll get back to that in a second. But we discussed yesterday the language of the Gemara, which says describes the Chazaka as Uki Milsa Chazaka, a Chazake. We put it back on the Chazaka. We put it back on the status quo. We don't know if it changed or not. We have a suffix. If you're seeing it, you just measure the mikvah. I don't have to rely on Chazaka. That's called, right, that's not, there's no doubt here. It's only if there's a measure of doubt. I don't know. So I presume, you know, that the status quo remains intact. So we put it on the status quo. When it comes to Roiv, which is the very next sugya over here, Yudal from Aleph, the second line we mentioned yesterday, the Gemara has a different language. You know how Milsa the Amar Rabbanon Zil Basaruba, that we follow the Roiv. Why do we follow a Roiv? When it comes to Chazaka, we, you know, put it on the Chazaka. Uki Milsa Chazake, whereas when it comes to Roiv, it's Zil Basaruba. We follow the Roiv. We explained yesterday from the Chassam Sofer, and this is Chidushim on this Gemara, that he notes this difference in language, and he points out that it's because they operate in a different way. Roiv tells us what happened. If you have a probability here of treif salamis, you know, I have a majority of kosher salamis and one treif of salami, and I pick one out of the, you know, like a grab bag of salamis, all the wrappers have been ripped off, then I would presume you took a kosher one if that's the roiv. That's what probability dictates. So that's probably what happened. It's not just, you know, we don't know what else to do. So it's kind of like, you know, this is just what we, how we decided to conduct ourselves. This is probably what happened because of probability. Well, that's why there's, when we see, there's different categories of roiv. 90% roiv is not the same as a 60% roiv. There's, because the probability, the likelihood is less or greater with regards to one or the other. When it comes to Chazaka, a status quo doesn't tell me anything. Just because something was doesn't mean that it is. So, in fact, usually things change. So the Chazaka doesn't dictate to me what happens. We rely on the status quo because we have no other choice. We saw yesterday that Taisis Gantav said, if we're not going to rely on the status quo, we won't know anything about anything. We're going to have to verify every single thing. We won't be able to lead a religious life. You go into your refrigerator, I'm going to have to verify that everything is still kosher. I mean, it will become untenable. So we have to rely on Chazaka, otherwise we can't conduct just basic activities of life, religious life. So we have to rely on Chazaka, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's what happened. So uki milsa Chazaka, we rely on the Chazaka, even though that's not necessarily what occurred. So therefore, Chazaka and Roiv are really two very different concepts. That's why they're described in different terms. That's perhaps the answer to Tosis' question over here. Look at Alpha and Alpha, the top Tosis. Tosis says, the second Tosis, how do you know we follow a roiv? Taisa says, 1 minute, if you establish Chazaka, you brought a proof from the Baiz HaMenuga, so then roiv is a kal v'chomer, because roiv is stronger than Chazaka. How do you know roiv is stronger than Chazaka? Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. I'd say one of the most famous phrases from all of Shas. Comes from a Gemara Masechtas Kiddushin, Peyam et Aleph. I would say top 10 phrases from Shas. Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. We have a roiv and a chazaka, the roiv prevails. Where do you see that? Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Kiddushin Pei Amid Aleph over here. Well, most people know the phrase. They don't know where it comes from. The Gemara Masechtas Kiddushin quotes a Mishnah. Eis Aleph over here on the sheets. It's not Tinuk Shenimsa Betzada Isa. Anyone know what an Isa is?
Isa, a baker.
A doe, yeah. Ubetzek Biyodo. I find the child playing with the dough. It doesn't fit into our social context. We don't usually give children dough to play with. But all right, find the child sitting by the dough. The child, is the child tummy or the child tar? Well, the child was hard to watch all the time, so maybe it played with a mouse or some little bug, something that's tummy, right? A sheretz. Maybe it came across tummy. We don't know. So we have to presume that the child is tummy. Maybe. Or there's a roid that the child is tummy. And now we touched our dough. Is our dough tummy? So Meir Matayer. Meir says, no, the dough is tahar. Chachamim Matamim. Chachamim say the dough is tummy. Mipnei, why is the reason for the Chachamim? The way of the Tinoch is to touch everything and lick everything and whatever. It probably touched something which is tummy. So Vavinam Bosim, and what's the reason for a Meir? Because Sava Rameir, Roiv Tinoch is Metapchim, Miyotei Metapchim. Rameir's opinion is, you're right, most children are play around, they're not careful with what they touch. But there are Miyot who don't. And the East says, Achez Kastara, as a previously established status of being Tahar. So I take the minority and I put it together with the Chazakah. I have two contributing factors. That overcomes the Roiv of the children who touch the Tumah and then touch the dough. Usmoich Miyot Lechazakah Israel Ruba. The Chazakah, together with the Miut, undermines the Roiv. We don't passing like Rameir. We passing like the Rabbanon. We're not Choshish LeMiuta. The minority means absolutely nothing to us. We're only concerned with the majority. Rabbanon Miuta Kaman Delei Sedami. The Miut is irrelevant. So all I have here is a Roiv and a Chazakah. What do I have? The Isa has a previously established status of being Tar. But Roiv Tinoika is touched Varm Temeim. And then the Tinoik touched the Isa. So Roiv of the Tinoik touches the Tumah. The E says a cheskas tahara, ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. The roiv prevails over the chazaka. So fractoi zakash, if roiv prevails over chazaka, we have a source for chazaka. How can the Gemara then ask for a source for roiv? If chazaka is good enough, roiv is certainly good enough. Roiv is better, as we say, b'chlal mosayimona. If if 200 is good, then certainly if you have 200, you certainly have 100. So if chazaka, which is a weaker proof, can resolve halachic, situations, so then Roiv certainly can resolve a halacha situation. We should follow the Roiv. That's Tosis's question. Tosis says, Zio Basar Kosher, Gain Basar Ruba, the Ruba Chazak or Ruba Adif. Chever, you hear the Kasha? Yeah. So Rabbi Chanan answers, I'd say this is one of the most famous pieces in Rabbi Chanan Wasserman Sefer and Kovish Yurim. This is Raid. So Rabbi Chanan has Ha'aris on the Shev Shmaitza. They're not wearing the Shev Shmaitza, but Ha'aris on the Shev Shmaitza. So Rav Chanan, his Ha'aris on the Shev Shmaitza, has an explanation for this concept of Ruba V'Chazaka Ruba Adif, where he explains it's not that one, that the two are entirely different. You can't derive one from the other, because they're just different from one another. They don't function in the same way. And that's why Roiv prevails over Chazaka. They're not on the same wavelength. Roiv pulls the carpet out from underneath the Chazaka. It's not that a Roiv is a Chazaka plus. It's an entirely different way of resolving doubts. A Chazaka tells me what was, and we have no choice but to presume that that's the same as it is now. Is that really what happened? Is there a probability that things were this way and therefore they, continue to be this way? No. There's no probability, there's no likelihood, but we don't know what else to do. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to function, as the Taisi Yantav told us, in any halakhic setting. Rav doesn't work that way. Rav tells me what happened. In which case it removes the doubt. It's not that it tells me, in a case of doubt, do this. Right? Case of fire, pull lever. That's Chazaka. Rav tells me what's happening, what's going on. That's why Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adiv. Because Rav pulls the carpet out from a Chazaka, is telling me, if you have a doubt, do this. Rav tells me there's no doubt, because this is what happened. That's why Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adiv. But that's why you can't derive one from the other. They function entirely different wavelengths. So he says, Rabbi Chanan, Dinei, Hadas, Lina, Basa, Chazaka, Vada, Ena, Tam, Mishim, De Chazaka, Mivareres, Hamaisa. Chazaka doesn't tell me what happened. He says, I have a proof. What's his proof? A strange proof, but Isha Shazark Labaila Get. You have a woman whose husband threw her a get. We don't know if the get is closer to her, she's divorced. If it's closer to him, she's not divorced. Savik Haravlo, Savik Haravloi. So what do we do in such a case? We don't know if the get was, and then it blew away. So we don't know if the get was closer to her or closer to him. Otherwise, we'll pull out the measuring stick, right? Like, it's a Lahavdil, a football game. What do they call it? I don't know what they call that. Yeah, you pull it out. Savikar v'lo, savikar v'lo. So what do we do? We say, well, she was a married woman before. Presumably she's still married and the divorce was no good. Does that tell me where the get landed? No. Does that mean the get was presumably closer to him because she was married before? No. We can say because she was married before, therefore the get must have been closer to him. This is just a halakha din that we derive from the pasuk. We don't know what to do. We file kazaka because it's Taisi Zantafstead. Otherwise, we wouldn't know how to conduct ourselves. Everything is a begetter sofik. Valkinami, you turn your back on anything, we have to be mesufok. Valkinami, in ruba v'chazaka, so to roi v'chazaka, ev shalom erkein. Why is roi prevail v'chazaka? The emes chazaka, diva miruba. Maybe a chazaka is a stronger resolution than a roi. And that's why you can't derive roi from chazaka. But roi doesn't function in the same wavelength as chazaka. Mishum malki avagav del manu, dazina basa chazaka, emi zeraya. You can't derive necessarily. The culture can't dazina basa ruba. You can't derive roi from chazaka. They work in different ways. V'hote kaimon ruba v'chazaka ruba odev hainu. When we said Rebbe Chazak Ruba Adav Hanu Achusha Kvado Manu Dazina Basa Ruba, once we derived the halach of a roiv mevarer as hamaisa, tells me what happened, umisalek as hasafik, it removes the doubt. Chazaka tells me what to do in a case of a doubt. Roiv removes the doubt, pulls the carpet out from underneath the chazaka. Vekevin she'ein kan safik memeo chazaka lo mayel v'lo merida. Once there's no doubt, there's no place for a chazaka. Okay, so that's why the Gemara uses a different language. Chazaka is uki milsa chazake. We rely on the chazaka. We don't know if that's what happened. Rav is zeal basa ruba, follow the rov, because that's probably telling me what happened, yeah.
So once the rov, once it becomes a rov, then we're not saying that it's probable that the scam, we're saying it is happening.
That's probably what happened. We don't know with certainty, but we follow the rov. Certain rovs, let's say, I mean, we're going to have to discuss, is it 99.999, is that a certainty, or is that still a rov? But let's say, 65% rov, 80% rov, is probably what happened. Does that mean inevitably that's what happened? No. Right? But chazaka doesn't tell me anything. Yeah.
Why can't like a chazaka, is that not like a type of rov?
No. Absolutely not. A woman, let's take the Shev Shema, Rebbe Chanan's example. A woman is an Eishes Ish. She's previously established status as an Eishes Ish. We have a suffix if she got divorced. A woman is an Eishes Ish. Her husband went to Medina Sayam. We don't know what happened to him. Well, she was an Eishes Ish. We presume she's still an Eishes Ish and he's still alive. Does that mean because she was married, her husband is still alive? No.
But can you say that?
We don't know, so we have to rely on the chazaka. He's probably dead, right? If he doesn't come back and he hasn't contacted her. How many husbands have dual lives? You read about it in the daily news once in a while. But how often does this really happen, So a husband hasn't contacted his wife in 25 years. He's probably dead. Most of the time, right? But she's an Eishes Ish. So we have to presume she's still an Eishes Ish. That's the Aguna. She's still an Eishes Ish. Why does the fact that she was an Eishes Ish tell me that her husband's still alive? No, one has nothing to do with the other, but it's a doubt and we don't know what to do, so we have to rely on the Chazaka. Okay, so Ruba v'Chazaka Ruba, if that leads us to a problem. That leads us to a problem. Now that we got this down, very basic concept, leads us to a problem. Because what type of chazak are we discussing here? See, we've assumed, we've lumped all chazakas together, but there's really a difference between them. Because let's just introduce the following concept. Look over here. The Gemara says in Masechtas Bava Kamma, look down, Ois Dalet. A guy, Hamoicher Shor L'Chaver V'Nim Senachan. A guy sells an ox to his friend. It turns out to be violent. You can have this. A guy buys a dog. The dog is a violent dog. You have to, I don't know when you put a dog down legally, but a violent dog. I go to the Petco and I get this dog and his mom is biting everybody. I would return the dog. Enough. I'm not a big fan of dogs to begin with, but okay. I'm sorry if you hate me for that, but I'm so I bite and it turns out to be a biter. Rabbi Mareza Mekartos. It's a Mekartos. You can return it to Petco. Shmuel Amar. No. Shmuel says he could say to him, well, I thought you were going to shech the ox and eat it for supper. I didn't know, so I didn't bother to tell you that, by the way, it's a little bit violent. I thought you were gonna eat it for supper. So it's not a mekartos. Rav says a mekartos, zil basaruba. Most people walking to Petco are not going to eat the animal for supper. Right? Not going to eat the animal. I don't think so. Not going to eat the animal for supper. I would hope not. Zeal Basar Ruby. You're probably arrested for that kind of stuff. Zeal Basar. I don't know. Can't you? I don't know. Not for now. Zeal Basar Ruba. So you follow the rife. Ruba de Inchi the Raja Hu de Zavni. Most people who buy animals in the Petco are buying it to enjoy as a pet, to work on a farm or something. So Rav says, you follow the rive. Mekach tos, give me my money back. Shmuel Amar, even though he doesn't dispute the facts. Shmuel Amar, yokol shiyam alo, l'shchita mechartiv l'cha. No, even though the rive is that people buy pets and Petco, don't buy it to eat it for supper, and therefore would make a difference by the way, it's, you know, if it's violent. Shmuel says, I can say to you, I sold this one to you because I thought you were going to eat it for supper. V'lo azlina basaruba. There's no right here when it comes to matters of dinei mamonis. Gizlina basarai b'isura. I'm not sure if this salami is kosher or treif. If every salami in a new square town is a kosher, and I find the salami on the floor, I presume it's kosher. We follow the right, even though I'm sure there's one treif of salami somewhere in square town. Fine. We follow the right. That's isav ahetav. When it comes to dinei mamonis, lo yazlina basaruba. There we say, you want to take my money out of my pocket, you better prove it. And a rive is not good enough proof to take my money. Famous halacha, but when it comes to dinei mamonis, ein hochin b'mamon akar arayv. You can't say, well, that's probably what you had in mind when you bought it, you know, was to use as a pet. If you don't state it explicitly, then ein hochin b'mamon akar arayv. You want to take my money back and say it's a mekach tos, Petco will say to you, no. Maybe you meant it for supper, you didn't say it otherwise. And therefore, I didn't have to tell you, I didn't have to disclose that it was a violent animal. You can't take someone else's money based on a rive. So I ask you, Chaver, the following open question. What do you say? When it comes to a chazaka, can I be mighty mommy, mammon with a chazaka? How do you know?
Because Shmuel says right here, he says for a
rive, kol shekinin. Ain't no mammon achar rive. And we have the Gemara, now we're great salam done. We have the Gemara, Mesechta's Kiddushin told us what? Ruba v'chazaka on the level of, you know, the hierarchy of proofs when it comes to resolving matters of doubt. Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif, roiv, the pecking order has roiv at the top. Below that is chazaka. So if roiv can't pull money out of someone who's already holding on, you can't pull money out of my pocket based on a roiv, which supports your case and your argument. Certainly if you have a chazaka, that can't, you know, that wouldn't be good enough to pull money out of my pocket. Yeah, we're in agreement. Chazaka should not be able to pull money out of my pocket. It's a problem, though. Because look over here. Says in Mar Masechta Ksuba is the following thing. I name it off. It's really a Mishnah. Hayu ba mumin. You have a woman has a blemish. Why couldn't it be the man has a blemish? You're right. It's all interesting questions. We're not discussing it now. But hayu ba mumin. You don't have any mission like that in Masechta Ksuba. He hasn't, but there are, but only more extreme. Hayba Mumin, he finds his wife after he gets married has a mum that he wasn't aware about. She's not yet in his house, but they already had erusin, the first stage of marriage. It's not engagement. Engagement has nothing to do with marriage. Engagement is not erusin or kiddushin. But Will likes to tell the story. He once got up, he was at a wedding, and he heard the guy speak under the chuppah, the Masada Kiddush, and he said, Erusin is the engagement, and Nisuin is the marriage. He made a macha. He said, halachically untrue. Erusin is also marriage. Marriage comes in two stages. So let's say he finds a mum, but she's not living in his house with him yet. So he finds a mum, but she's still in her father's house. So Av Tzarch Lahavi Raya Sheminishar Sahayu Bamumin Hagovin Is Tachva Sadeo. Who does he still have to pay her the ksuba? He wants to back out of the marriage now. Does he still have to pay her? Nowadays they Baruch Hashem they have pictures. Right? It's very controversial. Pictures that come with the resume. Right. Anyway, but Hayu Bamumin Vayid Rebei Sabia Ha'av Tzarch Lahavi Raya. Who has to bring the proof that to get out of the marriage? The father has to bring the proof that she had this, she didn't have this mum before she got married, and this mum happened after she was married to the husband. And if it happened after the Averson, so then she can say, the father can say to the husband, this is your bad mazel, this takfa sadeu. and you have to still continue to pay her the ksuba. Nichnas ala rishus habaal. Let's say she comes into the rishus of the baal, meaning they already had nisuin. The guy wakes up after the marriage, you know, the wedding, and he sees the nisuin, and he sees she has a mum, and he doesn't want it. He wants to back out of the marriage. He doesn't want to pay her the ksuba. Mekachtos. Nichnas rishus habaal. Who has to bring a raya when this happened? She'll say, this happened while we were married already. This wasn't a previously, you know, a previous thing I didn't disclose. That can make a certain circumstance can make the marriage a mekach tos. This was something that happened just now. That's your problem. It happens later. You can't claim mekach tos. So Nicholas over Rishus HaBaal. Let's say a guy buys a car, La Havdil. Guy buys a car. He smashes the car after he was driving out of the dealership. So he goes back to the dealership. He says, mekach tos. What mekach tos? I sold you a perfect car. You crashed it after you drove out of the dealership. You know, damn. Guy buys it as a sports car, right? Typically gets in there, so excited, just drives it into a wall. So I'm so excited, I drove it into a wall, now I go back, mekach tos. Mekach tos, I sold you a perfect car, it happened under your watch. So over here, the father says to the Baal, I gave you, my everything was perfect. This happened when she was already in your rishus. That's nistafas adeo, that's your problem. So nishus habaal, now she's married, who has to bring a proof if he wants to get out of paying the ksuba that this condition predated the marriage. Habal tzarech lavi raya. The husband has to bring the proof. Sha'ad shalom nisar sahay b'mum ineu. That she had this before the erusin, and they didn't disclose if he mekach tos, and it's a mekach tos. So the Gemara goes on to explain, why would the Baal have to bring a proof? Who has the money now? He doesn't want to pay the ksuba. Where's the money sitting now? He doesn't want to pay her the ksuba. Where's the money now? In his pocket. Who pays the ksuba, chevra? The husband pays it to the wife if the marriage gets dissolved. He doesn't want to pay her the ksuba. So what do we say typically? Hamoitzi mechaveroi alavaraya. You want to take my money? Prove to me that this condition, developed recently during the term of our marriage. Otherwise, I'll presume it's my money. Maybe the condition preceded the marriage and you didn't disclose it. That's a mekach tos, right? If you buy a car and there's no engine in it, that's a mekach tos. You should have to disclose that. But if I sell you a car and you drive it into a wall afterwards, that's not a mekach tos. That happened subsequently. Something developed later. So when did this mum develop? Before the erusin or after the erusin? So if she's already in his house, he could say to her, the Gemara ends up resolving actually these two lines of the Mishnah are really two separate tanoim. But the second clause of the Mishnah is the father can say to the Baal, you prove that this mum predated the erusin and we didn't disclose it. Otherwise, he got to pay. Why does he have to pay? Why does he have to pay? Hamaytzi me chaver olavaraya. Who should have to prove it? The father, the girl should have to prove that this condition developed later and it didn't exist previously. You want to take his money? Prove that it happened under his watch. Why is the burden of proof on the husband? He has the money. Why is he the one who has to prove it? So the Gemara explains, because here we're dealing with a cheskas haguf. She has a chazaka of being whole, of being perfect. People are born, without these kinds of mumen. And then this happened. When did it happen? We don't know. But we know at one point she was, shalim begufa. She didn't have this mum. So we presume that happened, even though now she has it, we presume it happened. Again, we said Chazaka can project and push this development to the latest possible moment that happened under his watch. That's a cheskes haguf. So that is even good enough to take the money of the Baal out of his pocket and award it to the wife. Chevra, you understand the timeline? Erusin is here. Nisuin is here. We see now she has a mum. If the mum predated the erusin, he doesn't have to pay the ksuba. If it happened under his watch, you have one?
Orange?
Oi.
Exactly, I guess why you have it. Nisuin. Right? Where's the mum? The mum is here.
You have some competition.
Do you have a better one?
No.
Yeah, did
it
have a different color?
Yeah.
All right, we're good with orange. How's the mum? When did the mum happen? So if the mum happened here, right, if the mum happened before the erusin, right, she's a penuya.
This is better color.
Wow, you have a whole rainbow over there. So if the mum happened here, right, let's say the mum happened here, So then the husband is patur from paying because they had to disclose it. If the mum happened here, then he's chayav to pay because it happened under his watch. It's his bad mazel. Who has to prove when it happened? So the second line of the Mishnah tells us the husband is the one that has to prove that it happened here and he's patur. Why? Why does he have to prove? The money's mine. You want to take my money? I'm going to make a mariah. The father and the daughter should be the ones who have to prove that it happened here. Why does the Baal have to prove that it happened earlier and he's potter? So the Gemara explains because it's a cheskes haguf, because he or she was shalem. She didn't have that mum. That projects forward and tells us that the mum happened at the last possible moment. It developed here, in which case he's chayef. So the cheskes haguf pushes this to the last possible moment. And guess what? A cheskes haguf can even pull money out of the pocket of the Baal and award it to the cow, award it to the girl and her father. That's what you see from this Gemara. Cheskes haguf is even strong enough to pull money out from one person's pocket and give it to somebody else. Yeah.
Isn't this Gemara different because in this case, there's no way, let's say, for the girl to possibly prove that, and it's also the Baal's fault because it says that it's his own fault because he knows that if he's getting stuff, he needs to have people check the bathhouse. And no, like, it's
that's the other opinion of Gemara. That's the other opinion of Gemara. That he should have had someone else check it out.
Right, it's his fault.
He should have been stalking her. Yeah. No, that's what Gemara says, yeah, right? Gemara says he should have been checking it out, but he didn't. That's one opinion.
Do you reject that opinion?
Yeah, we don't pass in that way. We pass in here that the Cheskes Haguf awards the money to the... like Rabbi Yeshua, the Gemara quotes
either
his
way,
opinion.
How would the girl be able to prove that she didn't have a blemish? She doesn't have like pictures from like January 1st and then pictures from like March 31st. Like, how would she be able to prove that?
The Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua earlier that it's a Mishnah Ksuba Daf Yud Beis. Is that if, let's say, the husband wakes up the morning of the wedding after this year long break between the heirs and the suna, he finds she's not a basula. So she says, I'm not a psula because I was, you know, attacked in the year between the Erisin and the Nisuin. She was attacked. She was Nansa. So it's not her fault. It's his fault. He was attacked then. You know, Nistafa is not his fault, but it's his bad mazel. Nistafa Sadeu. And therefore, he has to pay the full amount of the ksuba. He says, what are you talking about? This happened when you were, before I ever met you. We don't know. So we don't know when it happened. So the Gemara says, we presume that it happened later because the Cheskes Haguf. And that's good enough to take the money of the Baal and make him pay the full measure of the ksuba. Because the Cheskes Haguf tells us that this mum, or if she's not a psula, happened as late as possible. How could a Cheskes Haguf override a Cheskes Mammon? Take the money out of the hand of the pocket of the Baal. We saw a roiv doesn't work to take the money out of the hand of the Baal. But a Cheskes Haguf, and certainly if a roiv doesn't work, a chazaka doesn't work. Cheskes Haguf seems to be a much stronger level of chazaka. Seems to be a superior chazaka. So we have to readjust our hierarchy. What seems to be is, in this Gemara, is that there is Roiv, right? Roiv beats out, right? So we have Roiv, which is, let's say, somewhere in the pecking order. Beneath that is a chazaka. How do we know? Because Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif, the Gemara Masechta Kiddushin, right? What's on top of a Roiv? Is Cheskes Haguf. Which means not a... Chazaka means a status, a halachic status. We call it Chazaka Bedin. Something is mutter, something is also. Cheskes Haguf is a physical status. As opposed to halachic status. Because this is even good to be Maitzi Mammon. This is, right, in Holchim Mammon Achar Haroiv. Cheskes Haguf is a physical status that even is Moitzi Mammon. How do you know? Because the Gemara says, since she has a Cheskes Shalem, that tells us the mum happened later on and the husband has to pay the ksuba unless he can prove that the mum predated the marriage. Yeah. So we see we readjusted our hierarchy. Cheskes Haguf is at the top. That could even be Moitzi Mammon. Again, it's a status quo. So we use the language Chazaka, but it's a status quo. It doesn't tell us really what happened. And then in the middle you have a roiv. Roiv is better than a chazaka, ruba b'chazaka, ruba adif. And then at the bottom you have a chazaka b'din. Trevor, we understand the hierarchy?
Yeah, what's the lumbness behind why a chazaka is better than robe? Because we did say chazaka is better. Is it not really a chazaka?
Cheskes haguf, you mean? Cheskes haguf.
Isn't the cheskes haguf a type of chazaka?
Yeah. Why is it better?
Right, so what's the...
I'll ask you a different question.
Okay.
I'll ask you a more direct question. Your point is very important. But even before that, let's get back to one second. What's the source for chazaka? What's the source for this chazaka? Chazaka bedin, that the animal was also, we presume the animal is still also. A woman was an Eish Ish, we presume she's still an Eish Ish. A chazaka status, halachic status, we presume it continues until such time that we know otherwise that it has changed. And when it has changed, we presume that that change happened as late as possible. What's the source for chazaka bedin? What do we have in our Gemara? What's the whole source? Kevin, what's the source? Ba'ez HaMenuga. Is a Ba'ez HaMenuga, what type of chazaka is that? A physical chazaka or a halachic status chazaka? Is it a cheskes haguf or is it a chazaka bedin?
Both.
Well, the din functions based on the physical change that occurred in the house.
Yeah.
But it's really a physical, Julia, cheskes haguf. And in fact, the Gemara in Ksubas makes this point that Saras is a chazaka beguf. Because look over here, three lines from the bottom of Vayis Gimel. Amar Rabba, loy teima Rabbi Yeshua lo azar basar chazaka de guf akal. Don't say Rabbi Yeshua doesn't subscribe to cheskes haguf at all. Okay, lo azar Rabbi Yeshua, the first time of the Mishnah, doesn't follow cheskes haguf when it contradicts a chazaka de mamon. You want to take someone else's money out of their pocket, cheskes haguf is not good enough. The other time that disagreed, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua said, no, cheskes haguf loses to a chazaka de mamon. We pass like Rabbi Gamliel, cheskes haguf beats out a chazaka b'mamon. But even Rabbi Yeshua agrees that the chazaka b'guf, or physical chazaka, is considered to be a chazaka. How do you know? B'hekad leka chazaka b'mamon, as Rabbi Yeshua b'asar chazaka b'guf, he agrees that there is a chazaka b'guf. What is such a chazaka b'guf? The Tanya in Baheres koydim usayar lovan, by tzaras. A guy has, there's two parts of a neged tzaras on the hand. We've been discussing neged tzaras on the wall, but a neged tzaras on, let's say, a part of the body, there's a white skin with a white hair inside of the white skin. If the skin changed color, you know, if the hair was white but the skin wasn't white, it's not a neged tzaras. Or even if the hair became white before the skin became white, it's not a neged tzaras. So let's say, we don't know which came first. In Baheres Kaidim Seir Lovin Tamei. If the skin changed color before the Seir Lovin, it's Tamei. In Seir Lovin Kaidim Baheres, it's Tahar. If the hair changed color before the skin, it's Tahar. What if we don't know? Safek Tamei. Safek is Tamei. Rabbi Yeshua says it's Tahar. Why does Rabbi Yeshua say it's Tahar? Because the body had the normal, you know, previous status of not being, you know, this kind of, right, you know, abnormally white skin. It wasn't, it didn't have that status before. So this would be a physical change. So when we have a, you know, we're not sure when a physical change occurred, we presume that the status quo continues to function at the last possible moment, and it changed as late as possible. So if we don't know when the skin color changed, this abnormally white, complexion, so then we would say it happened as late as possible after the Seir turned white, and therefore the Nega is Tahar. So even Rabbi Yeshua agrees that, when it comes to Tzaras, he agrees with Chazaka the Guf. He doesn't think it prevails over Chazaka the Moment, but he agrees with the concept of Chazaka the Guf. We have the Pasuk, it does prevail. It is Motzi Moment. We'd say the mum happened as late as possible, and the husband has to prove that the mum happened early, otherwise he's got to pay the ksuba. It's good enough to take the money out of the pocket of the chassin and make him pay the ksuba, which is better than a roiv. Ain't hokum a mum and hakar roiv. We saw that Gemara, we said it was Baba Kama, but the guy who walks into the store and they sell him a rabbit, you know, some violent dog, and he says, we thought you were going to have it for supper, right? Even though most people don't do that. Ain't hokum a mum and hakar roiv, he can't return the dog. So we don't follow roiv to Motzi Moment, and cheskes haguf can be Motzi Moment. So cheskes haguf means any physical condition, we presume, projects into the future, and that is greater even than a halachic status. So this is more of a physical condition, halachic status, and here, Brother Nigat Saras, we're dealing with a physical condition. So how can we derive from Nigat Saras, which is a physical condition, to the concept of a halachic status projecting forward into the future? Our Gemara seems to be mixing the two, right? Our Gemara is asking, what's the whole concept of chazaka when it comes to halachic status? So Gemara brings from a physical condition. Physical chazaka, the guf, is much stronger than a chazaka bedin. So how can we derive one from the other? Have you hear the question? So this Rabbi Chanan explains in his comments on the Sefer Ksubas, Ois Reish Samachir, over here Ois Hey, and then we'll get to Zach's point. Why is the chazaka de gufa stronger than a chazaka de meikara, or chazaka bedin? So Rabbi Chanan explains because all chazakas really are based on the same concept. And that is that we assume things don't change. Sometimes that assumption is stronger than other times. So when it comes to, let's say, a physical change, the assumption has more credibility than when it comes to a halakhic status. But they're conceptually the same thing. So it says the Bakaran over here, Venir Dehine Iker Din Chazaka Hulaimar, Shadavagon Nishtana Mikafi Shahaya Kaidem, Shinoda Safik. It means things don't change. It means then Numo, the Huadina Fiu Vadin Ishtana, even if it did change, we presume it happened. Mistafkan, Mishtana, Ishtanas Maruba, Ishtanas Muetas, we're not sure if it had a big change, a large change, a small change. Roy Lahame, Bechazka Shaloy Nishtana, Rakmatalo Harbe. We presume that the change was minimal, only as much as we're forced to say. So a shino in guf, a chazaka de gufa, is stronger than a chazaka bedin because that is a larger change. Not only is it a halachic status change, it's a physical change. That's more, more extreme than a halachic status that's changed. Vidami kmo haka chad chazaka v'haka tre chazaka. Okay. But he basically says fundamentally they're all one and the same, and therefore we could derive one from the other. So even though our source is from a chazaka de gufa, which is even stronger than a rive that could be mighty mammon, it's conceptually the same as a chazaka bedin, which is that we presume a halachic status doesn't change. So Vasha Weiss explains this a little bit further in his comments over here on Parshas Metzora, I think. In the Minchas Asher, that he suggests a chazaka beguf is stronger than a chazaka bedin because it is a more pronounced change. Sheyir bechreich b'yisodei shadavar the yisodei chazakas kula nechadu, they're all one and the same. Rabbi Chanan already said that. V'avdo hachazakas haguf adif al shar chazakas, they're really one. Yisodei nechad de'ein lanu levado is hishtanos milibenu. We shouldn't presume that a change occurred on us. We have to. Even though chazaka b'din is less powerful than chazaka, that has to do with the physical change, because physical changes are more pronounced than halachic status, the change. And nonetheless, conceptually, they're one. But for this reason, a chazaka in chazkas haguf is stronger than a chazaka b'din, because that's a more pronounced change. And those kinds of changes, we could already say is not likely to occur, right? Things. Even though conditions change, but physical changes require an action to cause them to change. So let's say, a building is here. I think I remember when there used to be a building here. So, does that change? Yeah, things change. So, let's say I would come back 30, 20 years later. I would have thought the building would be here and it's no longer here. You're right. Things do change. But that requires, a much more proactive, a much more pronounced activity to change the landscape than to just, have a halachic status that changes. Women, people get married and divorced all the time. Buildings don't necessarily move from place to place. Or, things don't, physical changes occur much less than halachic statuses that change. So maybe it is compelling enough then to not only say, we don't know what else to do in the makom of a suffix, we have to presume the status quo is still intact. When it comes to a chazaka beguf, that really perhaps already is compelling and tells us what actually happened. Because these kinds of changes don't happen all the time. So now it's not just, we don't know what else to do. This probably tells us what happened. It could even be strong enough to be mitzi mammon. At the same time, even though it's so much stronger than a chazaka bedin, conceptually they're one. And that is that things don't change. So sometimes things don't change, or we shouldn't presume things change, is compelling. Sometimes it's not compelling, but we don't know what else to do, so we rely on the chazaka. So we hear conceptually the one and the same, we could derive one from the other, but now you understand perhaps why chazaka beguf, chazaka is a little stronger than chazaka bedin. Yeah?
Right, but so what about regarding robe? I mean, we're saying still chazaka beguf is less likely to change, however, there is a cause of a change, and often does robe change, and therefore robe should probably be on top of chazaka beguf anyways.
There's always a minority. And what you're really saying is, let's say there should be a difference. A 95% rov should be good enough to be mighty mammon, even if a 65% rov isn't good enough.
Maybe that's true also, yeah.
Right. There might be sources that support that, yeah. Yeah. Maybe there'd be such a strong rov, it's so compelling that it would be good enough to be mighty mammon. I think you're right.
Or even what about, even if the rov was 52%, is Chazaka more than 52%? Yeah. We're not sure, we have no idea what the percentage is, but...
No, I think a Chazaka Bedin, there's no percentage. I mean, unless you want to start with like divorce rates and when it comes to HSH or how... But I don't think we have to go there. When it comes to Chazaka Beguf, though, it's more compelling that things are probably the same.
Okay.
Yavala, as opposed to... Right. But there's one side point over here, which the Gemara came up, which came up in the course of the discussion, which is that if a person leaves the house of the Baal Shem and go backwards, that's not called leaving, right? The Gemara said, how do we know that when he turns to leave the house, the Negas Haras remain the requisite size, and the house, he could declare the house of the Baal Shem Anuga. Maybe when he turned his back to leave, the Negas shrunk in size. So it must be we rely on the Chazakah, we assume it hasn't changed. Rav Bayaka said, no, maybe he walked out backwards. The Gemara said, you can't walk out backwards when the Baal Shem Anuga. The Pasuk says, V'yotza koyimin abayis al pesach abayis. You have to leave. Leaving means you walked out forwards, not that you walked out backwards. That's just not normal. The Taisus asks a kasha from a Gemara Masechta Shavuos. Look over here. Let's just see the Gemara. We'll have to finish this up tomorrow. Look over here. The Gemara says Masechta Shavuos the following: Amar Abayishia, Beina De'ema Milsa. There's something I wanted to say in the base medrash. Mistafina Mechavrei. I got afraid from my friends. They were bullying. I guess they were intimidating him. What did he want to say? What was he so intimidated to say? Haniklas Abayisam Anuga Derek Hakayrov. This is what he wanted to say. He got too scared to say it. Halavai. People should get so scared. He said that. He had something to say about Baisa Manuga, and he was afraid his friends would shout him down. Nicholas, Baisa Manuga, Derech HaKhayr. If a guy walks into Baisa Manuga backwards, even if his entire body's inside of the Baisa Manuga, Chutz Mechaitmai, but with the exclusion of his nose, he's Tahar. The Siv, V'Uba El Abayis, Derech Bia Asra Taira. You have to walk in normally. Just like Agamar said, you have to walk out normally, you have to walk in normally. Derech Bia Asra Taira. Therefore, he didn't say it. So it says, even if you walk all the way in, so if you walk all the way in, then it has nothing to do with walking into the Baal Shem Anuga that makes you tame. The fact that you are in the Baal Shem Anuga makes you tame. So even if you walked in abnormally, just being there makes you tame. So there's really two things that make you tame in the Baal Shem Anuga, either the walking in, but then you have to do it normally, or being there. There's a parallel to this which comes up. Tananami Haki, Gagan Halo, right? You'll say Baal Shem Anuga, what does this have to do? Tananami Haki, Gagan Halo, Enochon Shem Kodshim Kadoshim, Vein Shechon Shem Kodshim Kalam, Vitame Shenichnas Derek Gagan Lehechel Potter. A guy walks into Beis HaMikdash through the roof. He parachutes in. Is Potter. Even though he's Tame, you're not allowed to walk in Beis HaMikdash when you're Tame. If you parachute in, you're Potter. Shenemar. You can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash. Derech Bia Asur Torah. It's only if you come in normally, not if you parachute in. I don't know if they run helicopter rides over the Har HaBayis. Do they do that? Avrami? Helicopter rides? Can you do that? Rav Avadia has a Shaira, has a Tshuva in the Abiyah Omer. Chelo Kev, you're a Dea. Can you take a helicopter ride over Har HaBayis? You're coming in, it's not normal. Sham Mugrabim is normal. What if you helicopter, you parachute in? What about the airspace? Okay, we'll have to meet them tomorrow. We'll have to discuss the parachuters onto the Har HaBayis. Huh? Yeah, well, totally comes up. Anyway.
Okay, so, when it says there, see us, so yesterday when Tony, see us,